we're back here on the Carolina Outdoors. You've got Bill Barty speaking right here to you alongside me, Wes Lawson. We're the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's here on the Carolina Outdoors. Wes, this is a water topic worth talking about, and I'm going to tell you really how it comes about for me, and what triggers it is the rainfall that we've had over the past couple of weeks across the Southeast, especially here in the Carolinas, and it brings to mind a time that I was on a mountain hike after some storms. We were doing a day trip, really, so we did have backpacks on. We're wearing backpacks, but not high-capacity backpacks, not heavy weight. It was me and a couple of friends, and we came to a stream crossing. And it was, for us to do the hike that we were on, we were going to have to cross this stream. And where the trail crossed the stream was not conducive to wading across. So it brings to mind us talking about this so that our Carolina Outdoor listeners can be safe. The answer that we had, and of course we knew that this weather was coming through on our hike, that's one thing to be aware of, and of course we know to let loved ones know where we're hiking and our plans so that they can locate us if need be, if we do not come out when we're supposed to. But on this particular hike, we were fortunate enough to be able to work the banks enough to find a place that we could safely cross. There was overhanging limbs, trees that had fallen, and we were able to get across this fairly small stream. Under normal circumstances, it was enlarged, but still we were able to safely cross. So with that, Wes, I wanted to bring this thing up as a topic, river crossing. Safe river crossing, and for any of our hikers, backpackers out there, also our anglers who may be on a stream. They may be on a stream that is safe early in the morning, but rainfall is occurring way upstream. It doesn't even rain where they are, yet the waters may rise. They may be fishing a tail race. East Tennessee's got some great tail race fisheries that you're in, and all of a sudden you can be put in an uncomfortable situation due to rising waters. So with all of that being said, Wes Lawson, shall I put the ball in your court to begin the conversation of how to be safe in these situations?
So the first thing we're going to do, ideally, is we're not going to be alone during this. Ideally. When you're scouting for your safe water crossing, a couple of things come to mind. One is, if you're following a trail, that trail may not be the best crossing, but it could be, but it may not. So just understand that. You want to avoid river bend crossings. The bend in a river oftentimes creates differing speeds and volumes of water, which means you have deeper pools. You have an inconsistent bottom, really. So I want to look for a long stretch of water to cross. Even if it's wider, and even if it's deeper, because it's going to be a more consistent bottom and I'm less likely to trip and fall. The other thing I want to look for is what we call strainers. These are things in the water like a fallen tree, bushes, a odd rock outcropping, things that allow water to go through, but larger objects like people will not fit through there. So I want to cross below that, because if I'm above it and I slip and fall and get stuck in there, I am probably going to be a drowning victim. If I'm a drowning victim, I'm also putting other people at risk. So go below that as far as you safely can. Something else to think about. If we're backpacking, we've got something on our back, hence the name. When I get to that water, I'm going to loosen the straps. I'm keeping my pack on, but the hip belt's coming off, the sternum straps coming loose. Why are we doing that, Bill? Because if we suddenly go down, if we have to get out of that pack, we can. If it's all clipped on there, you're basically fighting with another person on your back. It's no good. So, again, just halfway recap. We're looking for long, straight stretch of water. The depth should be manageable, so we don't want to go underwater. But deeper may be better than shallower and fast, potentially. We want to be below strainers, so if we fall, we don't go into it, and we're loosening our pack. Do please strongly consider keeping your footwear on. I know that we don't like the idea of wet boots, but we like wet boots a lot more than we like broken toes. So keep that in mind. Now, the other bill is something that we talk about a lot here in the store when we do outfitting for mountaineering trips and long hikes, is we talk a lot about hiking or trekking poles. What do we do with our trekking poles if we're getting in the water?
Uh-oh. What do? We put our trekking poles downstream. We put them downstream to help strengthen ourselves with that. They are our third leg or fourth leg if need be. But I have been in that situation crossing a stream like that, and I have used that trekking pole or wading staff in a fishing situation to use it downstream. And also in conjunction with having that wading pole is I walk at angles, which essentially means, let me clarify what that means, is I step outward when I take a step. I try to keep my feet as flat as possible. I don't try to walk on the heels or the balls of my feet. I try to walk right in the middle, in the arch area, to keep my footing as solid and as fully surfaced on the bottom of the stream that I'm crossing. And if I'm stepping with my upstream leg, the left leg, I step upstream a bit. And the reason is, it's a phenomenon of sorts, but if I do slip, if the current does grab me, walking like that with the trekking pole or wading staff downstream, I would more slip to the center of my body, not tip over left or right, but center. Add on to that, the first thing that you said is ideally you would be with another person. And that's important to note, because if you're in a bad situation with crossing a river, you need to work in tandem with one another. And namely, you would put the larger person upstream, the smaller or less strong person on the downstream side. You can link arm in arm. You can even shuffle across face to face to cross the stream. Having that partner adds strength, adds legs to the situation, if you will, and makes a precarious situation, potentially precarious situation, more safe.
So, you know, we've talked about trekking poles or walking sticks. We've talked about people. We've talked about preparing our packs and water depth. What we're not talking about is ropes. And you should not use a rope unless you have been trained in how to use one. Why is that? Well, ropes are heavy. They're really heavy when they're wet. They oftentimes aren't well cared for, so they can snap. But you could trip. You can get strangled. You can get dragged down by a rope. So we're going to leave ropes out of the list of plausible things for you to use in the stream crossing. Something else to think about is going to be, where are you going? Depending on where you're crossing that stream, you may immediately be in a concern of hypothermia. If you're heading out to, you know, glacial runoff this time of year, it's not even really glacially running off in some places. That water's really cold, but you should be doing your crossing as early in the day as possible, because the water levels will be the most controlled because there's less melt. If you're in the south, you can still have a hypothermia concern through the early summertime because of evaporative cooling. It's less likely, but it's still there. Something else to really take note here is, because of the nature of the crossing, it's not likely to be a fully level ground. It's stream bed. So you want to make both feet flat before you move. So we're not power walking. We're not going fast. We're going controlled. So heavy footstep down, plant that foot, push the next one forward. We're never crossing our feet. We're not doing any side steps or karaoke's like we did in football practice. We want to keep that down with as many points of contact as possible. Now, there are plenty of times when your stream crossing or your river crossing goes totally as planned. That's the goal. If you do this properly, if you scout your location, which may mean a little bit longer time on the side. Massive sandbar, massive for your body of water, whatever that could be. Otherwise, keep looking. We don't want any unintended swims. Now, Bill, one thing that I wanted to mention before I forget is stream crossings aren't just something that maybe we do on foot. It could be on mountain bike or ATV, or if you're like some of us in the listening area, we get a heavy rain, streets can flood. And we've all heard that fun song, "Turn Around, Don't Drown, Your Car Is Not a Boat." You've got to be mindful of that. You don't know how deep that water is. You might have an idea, but remember, that water moves at about 60 pounds per square foot, which is quite remarkable to think about. 2 inches of moving water can knock you down real fast. Several inches can move a car, no question asked. You could hydroplane, you could end up in the ditch, or far, far worse. So even in our well-maintained areas, be really mindful of what your stream crossing looks like, be that on foot or on vehicle.
I wanted to make sure I said one thing straight. I get so excited here on the Carolina Outdoors, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about crossing a stream safely. Wes Lawson right there. I'm Bill Bartee. We're glad that you're listening, whether it be via the airwaves of WBT Radio up and down the Eastern Seaboard early on a Saturday morning, or maybe you're joining us via podcast. Either way, we are glad that you're here. It's debatable on using wading staffs, weak leg, downstream leg, versus upstream for scouting to find out where that next step is. Water experts recommend going to the upstream leg with your wading staff. Wes, I'd also like to bring one thing up, and we of course are just talking safely. We do not want to scare anyone. We just want everyone to be aware of what they are encountering, especially with the rain that we've had in the past couple of weeks. It's good for the streams of North Carolina to get this rainfall, but it has been an escape for many people to get away from the cities, even in normal times, but especially in the COVID-19 times that people are utilizing many of the hiking trails that are open, and they are being forced to come across these streams. And we want you to be safe. If you do take a fall, Wes, you alluded to this later, keep your head upstream as much as possible and keep your head up in the water as much as possible. That sounds like it should be self-explanatory, but a head injury bouncing mm-hmm. against the rocks is no good and can drown you that way. So try to keep your head upstream, of course, but also up out of the water. The same with your legs. Keep your legs up in the water. You talked about entrapments. You want to keep your legs up, so if you do come to a fallen tree limb or something like that, that you can stop yourself. You don't want your legs below. You want your legs up so that you can safely escape the water. There's nothing worse than taking a fall in water, and I'm not even talking about from a safety aspect. There's just an awful feeling of being on a stream and taking a fall. I've done that before. I've lost fly boxes that I still miss to this day. Nothing endangered with me except wounded pride and lost fly boxes, but I still remember that feeling of falling, and it's never a good feeling.
Yep, so like our earlier conversation about rip currents and undertows, the same thing here applies. Be as calm as you can be given the situation. Calm in a stream crossing is not going to look just like calm at home playing backgammon. It's going to be a little bit different, but know what your options are. Know your footing. Know where to lean, where not to lean. If you do go down, that pack comes off, that head stays up, and those feet are out in front, almost like you're in a sit-up position. And then as soon as you can recover, get out of the water, check for bumps, scrapes, and bruises, and maybe change clothes and get on with it. Then it's an adventure, not an emergency.
Hey, that's going to sum this up. We're going to come back with some more good news, not just safety news, here on the Carolina Outdoors. Either which way, we're glad that you're joining. Wes Lawson right there, Bill Bartee right here. We'll be back with more of the Carolina Outdoors after this.